Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. We're going to be going through a passage in Corinthians. To follow along just for the first part here. The passage that we read today, actually all of our parshot today were just wonderful, just beautiful. And the passage in our Besorah and Yochanan is just my, probably one of my all-time favorite passages that just really speaks to me. And I'm not going to be speaking directly on that, but I'll be actually referencing different verses throughout. So kind of keep your ears out for what we read earlier today, because it touches so much. What we're going to do today is continue with our monthly healing service, healing prayer topic, and then the service afterwards that we've been doing for the past year. And over the past few months, we've been talking about the role of the Ruach in our lives and in healing prayer, the role of the Holy Spirit. And the past messages for all of this whole series are all on the website, so you can go back if you're interested. And keeping with the theme today, what I want to do is begin a new part of this theme in the Ruach and begin to talk about the different manifestations that the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Corinthians. These manifestations are often referred to as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts are words of knowledge, prophecy, gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles, of deliverance, the gift of tongues. Today, I'm going to be introducing these. So this will sort of be like the introduction to the gifts. And then as we go on down the months, we'll get into each specific one in more detail, because we could really do, you know, a lot on each individual one. And we'll get into them more deeply. So let's open up on your Bibles, if you can, if you have one there, and open up to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. And I just want to go through, and we're going to read just a few passages, and then I'm just going to talk about it and open it up a little bit, and then talk a little bit more experientially. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 goes like this. Now, concerning or about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthian community, and he's you know, beginning by talking to them about this, opening up this whole topic. Now, what's neat here is that the term gifts, and almost universally translated gifts, is not actually present in the Greek. Charisma, it's not there in this verse. Instead, it says pneumatikos, concerning pneumatikos in the Greek. And the word means belonging to the Spirit. So we could translate that verse, now concerning what belongs to the Spirit. See? I don't want you to be uninformed. I like the term manifestations, which is actually used later on, better than gifts, although I'll kind of go back and forth because they have different components of each. But they aren't really gifts that you are given and then you own them, but they're more like the effects of the Holy Spirit. So they belong to the Holy Spirit. They come along with the Holy Spirit. I think of it sort of like they're part of the Holy Spirit package. They all come together. And Yeshua tells us in Yochanan, in our Besorah reading today, that the Spirit, the words he uses, we could call the Helper, will come and will dwell in us. I like to say changing us from the inside out rather than the outside in. So if the Ruach dwells in you, then the package, these manifestations, also dwell in you. Do you see? They're there. Moving on. 12:3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Yeshua be cursed. And no one can say, Yeshua is Lord, except by the Spirit. So what's going on here is that Paul wants the Corinthians to know that they don't need to be concerned about whether the Holy Spirit dwelling within them is actually there or not. Because if they can say Yeshua is Lord, then you know that the Holy Spirit is working in you already to some degree. And I think that's important for us too. We don't really need to question that. If you can really say this, if you can pray for the Holy Spirit to be more present in your life, then you know that he's working in you. And then you can pray for more. Going on to verse 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. So it's almost like, in case the Corinthians might think that there are different spirits that go along with each gift, which, of course, they're coming from a pagan background, and so they might think this. Paul wants them to know that there's actually one Holy Spirit, and contained within the Holy Spirit are these different manifestations. Again, like the Holy Spirit package idea. Now, the word here translated gift is actually translated charisma, or originally is charisma in the Greek. That's where we get the word charismatic from. And that means something one receives by no merit of his or her own. Something one receives by no merit of his or own. This is important because these manifestations are not dependent on whether we deserve them or not. And I think that's important as we go in this area. Experiencing tongues or experiencing prophetic words or healing does not make someone better, more loved. It doesn't make someone more spiritual. And these things are not intended to bolster up our own image. They're given so that we can be encouraged and that we can be healed in our own lives and so that we can better love and serve other people around us. We can build up our communities. Now, in verse 12:7, he says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And I think this is important, especially in a Jewish context, because today we're very individualistic. Our society is very individualistic. Religious communities are, for the most part, you know, we understand them as being made up of the individual, and they're only important as so much as they support the individual. So a community is important if you're getting fed. If you're not, then it's not important. And I understand that, but in Jewish values, it's a bit different. Instead, the individuals are actually made by the community itself. So we're first a people, and our peoplehood shapes our individual identity. It's a different way of looking at it. And I think that's Paul's view. And so the gifts are intended to help us love one another and help us to build the kingdom of God. They're not a show. They're not a parade. They're not supposed to make you look more spiritual. But they're something with a purpose. To help and to encourage others to grow spiritually. For healing. To build community. That's what these things are for. 12:8 through 11, this is like the verse where we get all these from. "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of these tongues." Now, I don't think that this whole list is exhaustive. Like, that's all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think we could consider other gifts that aren't mentioned here to be equally relevant, like a gift of administration, or a gift of hospitality, a gift of patience, you know, these things. But I think Paul's speaking specifically here to address these supernatural manifestations that, with the intention of revealing God's power. You know, that's their purpose. So in sum, Paul's telling us that all of these manifestations, these gifts, that they're contained within the Holy Spirit. Through Yeshua faith, that Spirit dwells inside of us, and thus these gifts dwell inside of us as well. But still, he suggests, some people may experience gifting in one area more than another. And perhaps this is so that we can learn to rely on each other. So my understanding is that these inclinations, if you will, towards specific supernatural giftings seem to build on our natural God-given talents and personalities. So for example, if a person is very intuitive, they might be more inclined to discernment or to hearing a word of knowledge. But we can all learn to hear a word of knowledge. You see? Someone else may be particularly gifted in healing. What does that mean? It means that when they pray, more people seem to get healed than usual, you know, than whatever our norm is. But we can all still pray for healing. You know, think of it like singing or like a musical instrument. Not everyone will be a concert singer, you see, but we can all sing, even if we're off key, you know, in the shower or whatever, you know. We can all sing and we can grow, and through patience and encouragement, you know, we get better at these things. And we should, and it's good. As we jump, I don't have time to go through the whole passage, but as we jump to 27, or actually verse 31, Paul continues this theme. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have healing, gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? He leaves it open, but then he says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So he doesn't say no, but he says eagerly desire the greater gifts. So I think Paul's being super nuanced here. We have different strengths. We have different roles. Some people have more or less gifting in one area, but Paul also says that we're supposed to eagerly desire and seek after what he considers the greater gifts. And they're all important, but some are more important than others. Another time we'll get into that specifically. But like the gift of the Torah that we're given, these aren't just things that we receive, but they're things that we must engage, things that we must do, things that we must live. We have to play an active role in using these things, like learning to ride a bicycle, or learning to play an instrument, or learning to sing. We need to practice. Have you thought of that? We need to practice the gifts of the Spirit. We don't just wait around for the Holy Spirit to fall on us year after year on Shavuot, you know? That already happened in Acts 2. It's here. It's already inside of us. And I believe that we can pray for each other and encourage each other to open and to unlock and to take hold of these manifestations in our ordinary lives. And I stress, in our ordinary lives. Now, there are so many qualifiers. We can do all these qualifiers. Just, you know, this is one area that we care about that's super important, that one area that we care about at Roque. So there's many other areas that we could talk about and do talk about. There's so many different fronts. But I want to say that for me, the few times, and I'm talking like the few times that I can count on my hand, you know, when I've experienced being knocked over by the power of God, spoken in tongues for the first time, witnessed the supernatural healing for the first time, those experiences have become major milestones in my life. Right up there with getting married and the birth of my children. These aren't things we just brush off, at least for me. They shape who I am because it's an encounter with God. And I believe that these manifestations are given to us to be encouraged. But more so, they're given to us to encourage others and to be able to transform and change other people's lives in ways that we couldn't on our own. Recently, this is kind of a crazy story, surprising to me. We were went into Boston and we were trying to just experiment and pray for people on the streets just for fun, just to sort of see what it was like. And one guy asked for prayer to be freed from a drug addiction. And so we started praying and, you know, I don't know what I was praying, just whatever. And I just felt like I heard a word of knowledge. I felt like I heard the word dad pop into my head. So I told him. I was just like, took a risk and said, hey, this might be crazy, but I just hear the word dad. Does that mean anything to you? And he looks at his friend. He's like, that's crazy. He's like, how did you know that? And I was like, I don't know. You know. And what happened was, literally, as we had approached him about prayer, he had been talking to his friend about whether or not he should go visit his dad's ashes. And his dad had also been an addict, and his dad had left home when he was 7 and had recently died. So to him, that was like really meaningful. We prayed. He seemed to tangibly feel the Holy Spirit come over him like this, just come through him, and he gave his life to Yeshua right there. Not because of anything I said, not because of any arguments. I didn't have the 4 points or whatever, but it was because of what he experienced. Now, I can't follow up with him. I don't know, you know, it's between him and God how that goes. But it was sweet, you know, it was a very sweet, precious moment. And I pray that it's a milestone in his life. It's like what Yeshua promised us in the Masorah today. He said the Holy Spirit would be the one to witness that Yeshua is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. That's the witness more than our arguing. The Holy Spirit, he comes and gently caresses our thoughts. He moves our natural physiological systems. Shivers. A feeling of electricity running through. A gentle warmth, like an inside hug. You know, tears, laughter, irrational joy. Sometimes if the Holy Spirit is like really present, a body part might start twitching. With more power, a whole person's body might start spasming uncontrollably or be knocked over off their feet. Or weakness in your legs, so you can't stand. A person might begin speaking in tongues. These are just sort of things that we see. Last week, a few of us from Ruach went to a conference in Vermont to hear Randy Clark, who was a pioneer in a number of the healing movements that are around the world today. And it was kind of a neat thing because I kind of got myself into being an extra on their prayer team. So I was like, I'm just going to do this and go out and see. So I decided during this healing time to just follow, I'm just going to stay right next to Randy Clark and just follow him around and see what happens. And that was the idea. Let me just say that on one level, I don't like sharing stories. I'm hesitant about it because I know that when I hear other people share testimonies of things that are kind of outside my box, outside what I've experienced, it often makes me feel mildly uncomfortable, sometimes really uncomfortable, because it's like I want to believe them. You know, I really do, but I never quite know if it really happened that way. I never quite know if they're just exaggerating or seeing it slightly different. I just don't know what to do with it sometimes. It's like, I don't even have a category for that, so I don't know what to do. Sometimes I feel like they're overemphasizing and out of balance and trivializing other things that are important, and so I need to counterbalance them and because they're excited or whatever. I get that. I get it. I feel the same way. I know what that's like. On the other hand, I want to share. I want us to think about this because I believe that the power of God is released in a way through testimonies. And I think that we Messianic Jews need to wrestle with this discomfort before we'll ever be able to touch it and see if it's real. And the wrestling is okay. So feel uncomfortable, it's okay. I feel uncomfortable. It's okay. Anyway, when I got down to the floor, when they started doing this prayer thing, he was there. And it was the weirdest thing. Like, I got down, and all of a sudden, my pinky started going crazy. Like that. I mean, I was like, I have no idea what's going on. There are other people, like, who are in full body spasms. There's probably about 50, 60 people already on the floor. I mean, this sounds crazy. It sounds totally crazy, I admit. Okay, so the atmospheric pressure in the room at that time from like the back over there as I came around into the front changed. Like a different, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like a different feeling. It was like the air was thicker, kind of like entering a vortex. You know, it was just like, it was just like the power of God. You couldn't deny this. You know, it wasn't just hype or emotional. I'm very sensitive to that. Like, you know, spiritual emotions, we get the music going and all that stuff. There wasn't even any music going on. You can ask, Phil and Connie were there. Ilana was there. And you can ask them, this wasn't hype. You know, again, I don't know what to do with that. We saw a young woman who was totally deaf in her left ear for 8 years. Run up to the front and take the microphone and with tears say that she was able to hear her husband whisper into her ear. Later, Raina heard her talking on the phone on her left ear, telling people that she was hearing for the first time through her ear. That's amazing! What do we do with it? I don't know. It's amazing. I saw an older man in his maybe 70s looking ridiculous because he was running around dancing in the back of the room, and he talked to me and he said he couldn't move like that before. That's amazing. I saw a woman share that she had a palpable tumor when she came, but showed us that it wasn't there anymore. What do we do with that? There was a line of at least 80 people who came up to share the testimonies of things that had happened at the conference. People bending over when they couldn't. You know, claiming that their back pain was gone. The woman was moving her head that was frozen, fused. She couldn't move it before. Okay. These things make us feel a little uncomfortable, maybe. They make me feel a little uncomfortable. I've been teaching about this for 2 years. And it makes me feel uncomfortable. So it's like, wow. You know, really? You can hear? Really? How did that happen? You know? But we saw it. We saw it. See, we should be surprised not to see healing. That should surprise us more than seeing the healing, right? But of course, we have all this background that we come from, or that I come from anyway. Now, if I were in Galilee, or if we were in Galilee, and we heard that this teacher named Yeshua was healing multitudes of people, everyone who came to him. Now notice, it says everyone who came to him, multitudes were healed. At a conference like this, maybe 450 people, maybe 20%. That's still amazing. But can you imagine everyone being healed? I don't know. What would we do? I think I'd want to run and go see him, you know? Or would we not believe? I don't know. And if Yeshua is really still doing these things, and he's using us to do them, then what if we don't press in and seek it? Again, balance, qualifiers, they're all out there. If I'm missing some, forgive me. Something I really need to say here as we kind of, as I move closing here, is I want to acknowledge that I'm keenly aware that these manifestations, these kinds of things, are very hard to talk about in a Messianic Jewish context. Because I'm sharing stories from a very Christian conference that's very not Jewish. I'm the only one on the prayer team wearing a kippah. But I don't think it's supposed to be that way. You know, the early Messianic Jews in Acts, they didn't go outside of the framework of Jewish life to find these wonders. They healed the cripple on the way to the temple. I don't think we need to go outside either. And I think that these things are entirely Jewish at their heart. You know, in the big picture, they focus on the heart of the fundamental Jewish hope. I shared more about that in a previous message. But they're like a down payment pointing toward the restoration of Israel and the fullness of the kingdom. But not only on a big picture are they rooted, you know, in this experience of abstract theology, but they're really a part of Judaism today. You know, yes, the Enlightenment and modern rationalist movements have influenced much of modern Judaism. And, you know, Jewish movements today sometimes shy away from the supernatural, shy away from that. But a word of knowledge in other Jewish circles today is called a Holy Spirit, a Ruach HaKodesh. Healing prayer has been at the heart of the traditional Jewish experience. Pioneers of the Hasidic movements have suggested that we should rely on healing prayer to make us well. Most Jews who believe in God pray for miracles, gifts of miracles. Praying in tongues, called ecstatic utterances in the Hasidic movements, it's part of the Jewish mystical experience. When the Holy Spirit first rested on the disciples, where were they? They were celebrating Shavuot. What's new for us Messianic Jews is not the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. What's new is the empowerment and the charge that we're given to operate in them through the authority and the power of Yeshua, the Son of God. And Yeshua said to us, it's amazing, he said, you will do even greater signs than what I'm doing. He said that in our Besorah passage today. You will do even greater things. Because the same Holy Spirit, that same power that he operated his miracles in, he has given to us. It's the same power. But we have to choose to open it up. We have to choose to walk it out. And I believe that God is calling us Messianic Jews on a big picture, prophetic calling, to reclaim the power of the Ruach in Messiah inside of Judaism, which means living Jewish lives. It means pressing in and strengthening our Jewish community. It means engaging with the wider Jewish community. It means Hebrew. It means all the things that we do, all the while seeking God's manifest power in our lives. And we shouldn't be discouraged if we only experience in part or in small ways, because we need to just keep pressing in, and we need to gradually, I believe, cultivate an atmosphere of greater expectancy in our everyday lives. And I think, or I'm beginning to believe, that it's in that atmosphere of faith where the miracles take place. But all of that said, this is maybe the biggest qualifier, is that the real demonstration of the Ruach's work in our lives is not measured by miracles. Ultimately, it's measured by how kind we are to the people that God has put into our lives. See? How patient and forgiving we are when we're wronged, by how we deal with conflict, by how we love. Miracles are not the goal. They're just one more tool we're given toward greater love. So I'll close, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. So, Shabbat Shalom. And if you're able, come for the healing service, and we'll press in for some of these things at 2 o'clock today. Thank you.